That's awesome. You know, a lot of people don't realize, well, Pastor Shane was correct up to a point. He said he's going to get off the piano and jump down on the floor. Did he say jump down on the floor? Okay, number one, jump is not in my vocabulary anymore, and jump down is not in my vocabulary because there's things called steps in front of here, and if I jumped down there, Julie would be praying for me to get healing, because that's not going to happen. Short people like to stay up here because you can see us, right? Aaron sent me a text, and he said, a lot of compliments from Shane. Don't let it go to your head. Oh, that's nice. I love it. I love it. Do you realize what we get when I'm worshiping? When I'm leading worship, people text me. I respond. We sing. We worship. We do all that stuff. People come up to me. One time, I got to be careful. One time, I was leading, getting ready to start service. You know, we are starting, you know. I mean, it kind of sounded like this, you know. And the person came up to me while I was playing, getting ready to start service, and they said, Pastor Mark, the urinal in the men's room won't stop running. Can you fix it? I said, I get to that maybe after the first song, and then we'll just stop. Hey, you got to... This is not for the squeamish and the weak. You gotta do it. What does Nike say? Just do it. Just do it. Do you have a bulletin? You have it? Grab your bulletin. It'll be the first time you ever read the bulletin. Let's open it up. Go to the front page there. Let's read this together with our outside voices, right? Ready? Colossians 3:9-10 in Christian Standard Version says what? Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. You are being renewed in the knowledge according to the image of your Creator. Now open the bulletin up. Look around. See all that stuff that Kat types in there? See all that stuff? Okay, now stop reading that and pay attention to the preacher up here. With me, what you see is what you get, like it or not. That's what you get. When I was in a men's prayer meeting at Pastor Shane's house, I think it was maybe a week or two ago, I had a word popped in my head. And I wasn't even sure that it was actually a word. Did you ever do that? You ever get something pop in your head and you're not even sure if that's a word? Okay. And the word was re-image. Say that, re-image. I was like, I don't even know what that actually means. And I was like, that's your message. And I thought, well, that's nice. What scripture would say re-image? I don't think there's a scripture in the Bible that uses that word. What on earth does that mean? And it all came together. We're going to look at a couple scriptures up front, and then we're going to dive. I'm not jumping off the platform, but we're going to dive in. Okay. Romans 8:29. Let's go there. Can we go there? Romans 8:29. Are we there? Let's read. For those he foreknew, he also predestined. Read. To be conform to the image of his son. Why? So that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. I like CSB, it includes the ladies. Right? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3:18 in New Living. Are we there? Let's read. So all of us who have had the veil removed can what? Can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into what? Into what? Turn to somebody sitting next to you and say, you look glorious. Tell them that. Now say, I'm not joking, I'm not lying, I'm not kidding. Say, you look. What did the one person say on the movie on TV? You look marvelous. That's what they, you look marvelous. You look marvelous, darling, right? You look, you know. The Passion Translation says that verse like this. We can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces and with no veil. Everybody say with no veil. How many of you know a lot of people wear masks? Even when it's not Halloween, they like to wear masks. Have you ever worn a mask? I've worn a mask. Why do you wear a mask? You wear a mask when you try to be somebody you're not. If you want to get frustrated, try to be someone you're not. I like to tell people in counseling, everybody, be yourself. Everybody else is already taken. Be yourself, right? Say, be yourself. It says, and with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured. Everybody say transfigured. That's a word. We're transfigured into what? Into his very image. As we move from one brighter level of glory to another, it says it this way, and this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Galatians 2:20, let's go. Are we there? Read. This is about you. You're reading this. You're saying this. This is a declaration. Go. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow. Ready for another one? Let's go. 1 Corinthians 15:49. This is in the Amplified. The Amplified version's a little louder. It uses more words, right? Let's go. Just as we have been born the image of the earthly man of dust, we will also bear the image of the heavenly, the man of heaven. Read it again. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly, that's us, the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. Who's the man of heaven? Jesus. Jesus is the only part of God that became man. He was fully God, 100% man, 100% God, 100% of the time, except when he was on the earth. He functioned as 100% man, full of the Holy Spirit, because he was our example, right? One of the first things that God ever said. I like to pay attention when the scriptures in Genesis say, and God said. Everybody say, and God said. Nothing happens in the kingdom until something's said. So, the little kid song came to me just now. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. We always like those two claps. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. There's a father of love, he's looking down in love. So, be careful, little mouth, what you say. We like the two claps. We don't know the words, but we like the claps. When God says something, when we say something, say this, say words. Create worlds. What are you creating in your world by what you say? That's very important. So I like Bibles in the New Testament that have red print. What does the red print in the New Testament mean in some Bibles? They mean that's Jesus speaking. Sometimes just get your Bible out and read all the red letters, because that's really good stuff. That's what did Jesus say? I want to read that. I don't care about what everybody else said so much. That's secondary. What did Jesus say? Now, one of the first things that God said is in Genesis chapter 1, 26, 27. He says it this way. Then God said, got my attention, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heaven, over the livestock, over the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps. Aren't you glad he's the God of all the creeps? Do not look at your neighbor now. That's a bad time to do it. Sometimes we travel in big cities and Kat goes, the creeps. I don't like the creeps. Over everything that creeps on the earth. Is she in here? Oh my. Kat to the nursery, please. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female. He created them. In our pre-sinful state, God created us in a very special, unique, holy, blameless, spotless, righteous image. It was the actual image of himself. Now, after the fall, that image changed. And now our focus, our goal, our thing to pursue should be, the thing we need to pursue is to be and to do what we need to do and allow Christ to transform us in a manner that restores or re-images ourselves back to the original image that he first created us to be and to live and to function in. Notice he said, because I like to suggest that when you read that text, God created man in his own image, and he had dominion over this stuff. He was in charge of stuff. Sin happens, you lose that image, you lose control. For me to live is not Mark. Would the scripture say, for me to live is Christ? So we lost that image with Adam and Eve. They fell, boom, cursed. Man's cursed, little snakes are cursed, all the little, you know, there weren't even thorns on roses. Pre-curse, the ground was cursed, right? Into that image. Now, as I was thinking how, and did you see, look back at your bulletin here. There's a guy, and he's looking into the mirror. Here's the guy. Now, when he's looking into the mirror, what's he see? You didn't get a bulletin? Okay, well, I'll kind of do what Pastor Shane said, and I'll bring you a bulletin. There you go. Mm-hmm. That's 25 cents. Put it in the offering box when you exit. There's a picture of a guy, and there's a picture of Jesus, right? The scripture says that we are to be what are called, what, Christians. What does that mean? What does the word Christian mean? It actually means little Christ. You're not Jesus. You can't even get close to that. But a little one. We're a little bit of him. Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father, right? Have you ever seen a kid, and when you see the little kid, you go, holy frijoles. I guess if you're Mexican, you say frijoles. Those are good. Holy smokes. He looks exactly like his dad, right? Do you look that way? Look at this. Let's do slide number one. I'm going to show you this. Some of you might not know who this is. This is my friend Dylan Kane. How many of you know Dylan Kane? You know, he's played drums with us. Worship team knows him. When his son, Colson, was born, I only saw the baby picture, and I went, Cat, he looks exactly like his dad. It's almost freaky that he looked so much like his dad. Like, if you saw Colson, you saw Dylan. If you saw Dylan, you saw Colson. They looked like so similar, right? I have permission to use all these pictures that I use today. One person in the room is going to think I don't have permission, especially this next picture, but I actually got permission from the main person in the family that gave me permission to use this picture. Let's go to number two. Here's another picture. This is Easy and Benaiah, right? I mean, look, do you see what I see? You go, what? Look. Now, I know his dad, Sean, may try to get credit for saying Benaiah looks like him, but not today, okay? Just give it to Shane, okay? But when you see Easy, who do you see? You see Pastor Shane. When you see Benaiah, who you see? Do you see it? I mean, it's like, wow, okay, in the image. Now, the winner, winner, chicken dinner picture that I found, this undeniable, kind of like the Wizard of Oz when the little munchkin said, she's explicitly, absolutely, without question, dead, is when you look at Nick Horst, who's in the back. Now, look all the way down to the bottom left at Knox. Holy free holies. If Knox is not, especially, is Knox here? He's in the back? Oh, okay. I was going to have you guys come down. It looks just like him. I mean, it's almost freaky. And I think that even when I first got to know the horse, they said, oh, yeah, he's like a mini, mini Nick. He's like, is that what you guys think? I mean, not action-wise, just look-wise. He looks like, you know, that's it. That's where we draw the line. Okay, just looks like. But, I mean, like, what? Okay. Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. Why? Hebrews 1:3 says this. What? Let's read. And he is the radiance of his glory and the what? The exact representation of his nature, and upholds, read, all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. And this was interesting because I didn't know this word, reimage. Everybody say reimage. We need to be reimaged. We need to start looking like Jesus, acting like Jesus, talking like Jesus, doing the things that he did, because that's the original state in which we were created by God in Genesis chapter 1. This is not scriptural. This is not biblical. I sound like a lot of preachers, don't I? No. So this is from the, you'll get that in the morning. Don't worry about it. This is from a thing I found about computers. Listen to this. Just check this out. Reimage can have two primary meanings in a computing context. It means to reinstall the operating system and software on a computer, often to fix problems, by using a pre-existing image. In a more general sense, it can mean to create a new or altered image of something, whether a person, a concept, a product, or change of how it's perceived. Computing context. Reimaging a computer involves replacing its existing operating system and software with a pre-configured image, which is essentially a snapshot of a working system. This is often done to resolve technical issues, remove viruses, or reset the computer to a known good state. It's a more drastic measure than a standard software reinstall, as it often includes reinstalling drivers and other system-specific configurations. How many of you know when the fall happened, some systems got messed, some things got messed up? Things got messed up. So you see the fall happen in one chapter, and the entire rest of Scripture is about Jesus bringing you back to the original image in which you were created in Genesis chapter 1. The entire Bible is about, I got to bring him back. The Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, the Noahic covenant. I got to get the people back. I got to get you back. I want you back to look like me again. Can you get back to this? I'm drawing you. Even to the point, I'm going to send my son to die for you, so that the Holy Spirit can come and the Holy Spirit can be in you and actually re-image you. When you accept Christ, you are called what? You're called born again. When you're born again, that means the old man, everybody say old man. Okay. We got to say old woman too, right? Because we can't leave women out. Okay, old man, old woman. Whatever, that old person, that old human nature has to be done away with. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I become new. I alter how I look. I alter how I act. I alter how I talk. And oftentimes, that happens at the altar down here. Can I suggest to you, at the altar is where things oftentimes get altered. Do you need something altered? Come to the altar. Why do we take all these seats out and make big room? Do you realize how big our altar is? It's not just the steps. This is the altar. That's why we like you to come down. You can get altered. Get that old, tarnished, sinful nature that invoked curses of all kinds back. And do you know how you get that? It could be as simple as saying four words. Jesus, I need you. Sometimes it could be one word. Jesus. You say his name, he shows up. I think even if you're saying his name and you don't really mean it, I think you get his attention. You go, oh, somebody's saying my name. If you mean it with all your heart, you can get into a transformed state to where you become like Christ. For me to live is not Mark anymore. For me to live is someone else that's living in me, that's transforming me. Are you with me? Computers, let's go. To re-image can mean to form a new mental picture of something or to conceive something in a new way. It can involve changing the public perception of a person, organization, or product. Oh my. I remember when Pastor Ben came to a concert night up in the chapel. Ben, just talk to somebody next to you so you can't hear what I'm saying. His mother called me when he came home from college. She said, Mark, Ben's home. I need you to come over and spend time with them. I don't even know if you know this whole story, but you'll know part of it. And I'm like, I have not seen Ben for years. We weren't really friends in school. We went to school since first grade, probably, right? Second grade, first grade, something like that. We're the same age. I'm the better looking of the two, but that's beside the point. So then she calls me, and when I see him, this is what I remember in my head. I walked into the house, and he looked like a WWF wrestler dude, big. I can't even imitate it, because if I raise myself up like a peacock, I can't imitate. And I thought, that doesn't look like the tall, skinny, blonde head, mullet-wearing kid I went to school with in high school, you know? And something happened at that altar in that room upstairs where he came down. Nobody touched him. Nobody prayed for him. Nobody tried to deliver him. He just went down and got altered at the altar and came up looking. He looks totally different now. He looks different. You look a lot better now than you did back then. The only thing I remember that stood out is Ben said to me, are you still talking to somebody? I just talk to Pastor Shane so you don't hear me. He goes, you hungry? Not really, but what do you want? Something to eat? And he took these cans of tuna and dumped them in this bowl. I think he might have thrown mustard or something and just stirred it up. Like some, I was like, I'm good. Do you remember that? I don't know if you remember that or not. How many of you are glad that you don't look, act, or function the way you used to before Jesus? Oh, my word, right? Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Whew. This image, then we'll leave this. This image often implies a fresh perspective. We're talking about computers, not people, but listen how powerful this is. This usage of re-imaging often implies a fresh perspective and a departure from previous understandings. We're talking about computers here. Now, think about that. This is what I used to think. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Everybody say transformed. It says transform. How? By the renewing or the re-imaging of your mind. Somebody needs, you need to change your mind. You might be sitting here going, I don't know about that Jesus stuff. It's a bunch of fluky stuff. It's just spooky and kooky. How many of you know the Holy Spirit is not spooky, kooky? people are spooky and kooky. That's not God. That's not God. So think of this. What causes the kids we saw earlier to look, sound like, oftentimes act like, just like their father? It's a few factors. I think it might be DNA, being close to them, learning from them, being influenced and taught by them, and having day-to-day encounters with each other on a consistent basis. Everybody say encounter. When you come, you could feel Jesus, get Holy Ghost goosebumps, you can know about God, but when you have a bona fide, manifested, face-to-face encounter with the Creator, God Almighty Himself comes in front of you. Whew. Moses did it. Moses is up on the mountain, and he's so close to God that when he came down off the mountain, he comes down. And this is probably a good example because our stage lights are blinding me, but you don't have to change it. What freaked the people out? His face was glowing. Go back up the mountain. I don't know what they said to him, but they're like, what was that? We thought he was dead. All that lightning fire. He was so close to God. And the scripture says, even prior to that, that Moses talked to God as a man talks to his friend. You don't talk to your friend like this. You're usually, when you're talking to somebody, hey, remember he was God in my last, he was God last time, not this time, right? When I get close, just to be close to you, right? Okay? I just want to feel your heart caught up in your praise. I just want to stay. What is it? Stand in awe. Pour my love on you no matter how much it costs. Freely give it all to you. All to you. I just want to move your heart, right? Caught up in your gaze, right? Can we get so close to Jesus that we actually start radiating who he is? And when people see you, they don't see you. They see Jesus. Now there's a problem, especially with your family. When this transformation happens, what's wrong with you? Where did you go? I had a funeral for myself last week at the altar. I am crucified. Everybody say crucified. With Christ. If you get crucified, what happens to you? You die. You done dead. Ain't here no more. That's how that works. That sounds like a nice scripture. Are you willing to die, get re-imaged, be born again with a new nature, a new look, a whole new operating system that fixes all the glitches and the viruses that we've been infected with? Oh, that we would return to that image and say, Jesus, shine through me. When they see me, let them see Jesus. So I'm going up to the cashier in the store, and I say, sir, I'd like to purchase this. And he's trying to get it. No, this is on sale. This is 80% off. And what's wrong with you? Well, the sign says back there it's 80% off. Like, you should. How long have you been working here? 2 days? Well, your trainer must not have trained you well because you need to. Could you just go get a manager? You're just worthless. I need to talk to a manager. Go get a manager because I need this. This is 80% off. You did 79% off. There's 1%. It's principal, man. Do we do that? How are you to people in public? You know? I saw a lady, I thought she was a Christian lady because she kind of looked like it. No, I'm serious. This happened, I remember, there was used to be a store called Ames in Salem. You remember Ames in Salem? Her name rhymes with, she was a lady. She had a little dress. She had a long dress on. She had a bun. She looked like a little holiness lady from my old church. I was just pulling into a spot. She pulled up. I didn't know that she wanted that spot. I'm in the spot. I got out of my car, and I really didn't know if she was turning. She didn't have her turn signal on. I'd never forget this. I got out, and I had, everybody say encounter. I had an encounter with this woman. This godly, I thought, whoo, she's you know, whatever. Probably a pastor's wife of the Pentecostal church down the street, I don't know. And who did she remember? You need to be paying attention, and you were paying attention. I was at my parking spot, and why are you parking so close to the store? You know what I mean? I am not making this up. I went, whoo. I know if snakes or bats or something, guns, I don't know. I hope she prayed she didn't have a gun. She had the appearance of that, but that wasn't what she was. That wasn't what she was, okay? Oh, that we would come back to the image. Everybody say re-image. So Peter walks along. He comes up to these women that are having a little hot dog roast. Marshmallow, they're making s'mores, minding their own business. Pete comes along to the fire. And Pete, he's getting warmed up at the fire, right? Look what this scripture says. I never saw this before. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. The servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, "This man has been with Jesus." How'd you know that? I'd like to suggest he was so close to Jesus, they could tell. He didn't say anything. He didn't have something, "Oh, he had a Galilean accent." No, well, no, he didn't say anything. He just sat down. She looked, you were with him. But he denied it. He said, "Woman, I don't know him." A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You are one of them." He said, "Man, I'm not." And then after an interval about an hour, another one said, "Certainly this man was with him." I would like to suggest that Peter was so close to Jesus at times that he started to get re-imaged, right? I'd like to suggest that the measure of what you receive from Christ is wholly dependent on your proximity to him. Why do you not have the image? Maybe you're not close to him. How do you get close to Jesus? Right? Now, it's not that we're imitating something. You're not. I don't know if it's actually imitating, because imitating something brings up the thought of it's an imitation, right? You can imitate something and be an imitation, but not the real thing. It's like, why do they put artificial lemon juice in lemonade that you drink? And 100% lemon juice in dish soap that you do your dishes with. I don't get that. No comprende. Oh, it's not about imitating. It's not about imitation. It's about transformation. And be transformed. You guys are too young. But do you remember there was a cartoon on TV? It was called the Transformers. How many of you remember Transformers? You remember Transformers? What they do? They would, they'd be one thing and then form of something, and then they'd just turn into a car. It's like, wait a minute, he was a robot walking. Now he's a car with wheels and an engine. Wow, I don't recognize him. Can we get to the point where people don't recognize the old you and all they see is the manifest presence of Jesus on you, on your face, on your conversation, what you do, how you function, right? Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We don't become like Christ simply by trying to copy his actions, but by allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us from the inside out. We renew our minds with God's truth, which enhances our faith and allows us to walk in the fullness of Christ. Because if you accept Jesus into your life, you get altered at the altar. Maybe that'll be a message coming later, huh? Altered at the altar. You have to realize what's happening to you. Now the scripture says, in him, everybody say in him. Him is Christ, right? All the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in bodily form. So what's actually in Jesus? The fullness of the Godhead. What is the fullness of the Godhead? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So we're only partially right when we say, did you accept Christ? Do you have Christ in your heart? Well, that's not quite an actual, I can't actually answer that according to your question, you know. Because if I come to this altar and get so close to Jesus that I become altered and he comes in me, what's actually coming into me? The fullness of the Godhead that's in Jesus now resides in me. Where's Jesus? Inside me. If I need to talk to the Father. 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 Maybe that's why we bow so much, because we know we're not God, but he's in us. He lives in him. We live and move and breathe and have our being. How's that work? Because he's in us. Jesus said, oh, that they be one as you and I are one. That I and you, you and me, us and them. Wow. What happens? If that happens and you have an encounter with Christ on the inside of you, you can't help it. You're going to change. You're going to be different. You're going to look different. You're going to act different. You're going to talk different, right? Everybody say re-image. And having a renewed mind is often not an issue of whether somebody's going to heaven or not, but I think it's about how much of heaven he or she wants in his or her life right now. How much of heaven do you want? If you want heaven, be more like Christ, right? Having a renewed mind is what the scripture is calling us to do. Encountering God is not just an intellectual understanding of faith, but it's a felt, personal experience. Have you had such a personal experience with Jesus that it changed you? How many of you have been changed because of Jesus? Have you ever been so close to Jesus that you got changed? Have you come to a service? I know sometimes Kat and I aren't the only ones that do this. You know, what you hear in the car on the way here is totally different than what you hear in the car on the way home. Sometimes, you know, we don't argue. We really don't argue, but sometimes we might have intense moments of fellowship. And you got to Christianese the stuff, you know. But no, seriously, do you ever come in and you just had this awful day, everybody messing with you, beating you up, the world came in, all hell breaking loose. And then you come in to this room in the worship. Why do we do worship first? He inhabits the praises of his people. So if we do worship, he inhabits. That word inhabit means to move in, to take up residency with furniture with the intent of permanent residence. That's what that word means. Look up the Greek. He inhabits. Everybody say inhabits. Say, Jesus, I give you permission. Don't say this if you want to inhabit me. Wow. I literally just felt like some people got inhabited by Jesus, and I was just saying words. I didn't realize that would happen just by saying it, but I really felt it did. So then you come in and you get changed. If you come in this room and leave the same way that you came in, we need to close the doors. We need to say, just, you're probably going to get more out of going to Dairy Queen and getting their $5 special with a free Sunday, because what you came in, we're about change. Everybody say change. He loves you where you're at, but he loves you so much that he can't leave you there. He wants to transform you, to change you, right? I quote Pastor Ben, are you breathing? No, we have some people dying. We need the revival. Okay, let's go. How do we get close to God? Prayer brings you close to God. Reading his word brings you close to God. Worship is a big one. How many of you know you don't have to be able to carry a tune in a bucket if we gave you the bucket to be a worshiper? Do you know that? You know who proved that? You know who proved that to me? In a big way? And I'm not joking. It sounds like I'm joking and bashing, but I'm not. Even though I like to do that sometimes to this person, I'm not really doing it. But Pastor Shane, you would not want him to come up and sing to end the service. I've heard him. Have you known worship's not about singing and notes? You know, you could put money in that box out there in the lobby. That's a form of worship. Right? Worship's not about how good you sing or how good you play, you know? It's. I think that's why the scripture said make a joyful noise, because God likes the noise of worship. He likes that. He likes noise, right? Let's go. Pastor Bill Johnson says it this way: extreme worship brings extreme results, and that we become like the one we worship. Oh, that we would be re-imaged into the image of Jesus. So becoming like Christ is a journey of transformation through the Holy Spirit, fueled by faith, revelation, and a focus on God's presence, leading to a life of kingdom impact. Michael Jackson said it this way. He wrote a song. We're going to get close to the end of this. Do you know the song? You know you listened to Michael Jackson back in your former days. Kat loved Michael Jackson. See, Kat, talk to your sister a little bit. Kat said, I said, you listen to Michael Jackson music. That's devil music. You shouldn't listen to that. She said, I'm praying that Michael Jackson gets saved. We were kids. We were little kids. As a kid, she said she was praying that Michael Jackson would get saved. He needed saved just like anybody else, right? He wrote this song. Check out the words to this Man in the Mirror song. That's what the song said. Michael Jackson, right? I'm going to make a change for once in my life. It's going to feel real good. Going to make a difference. Going to make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see their needs? A summer's disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one-man soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know, because they got nowhere to go. That's why I want you to know. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. And no message could have been any clearer. If they want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself. Make that change. Don't act like you don't know those words. That's what he said. Are you ready to give yourself a good look in the mirror and reflect on what you need to be re-imaged with Christ? This is what I'd like you to do. This is our challenge today. I want you to wake up tomorrow, look in the mirror, look at yourself. Say, is this Jesus? Is this the image? If it's not, pray. Say, Lord, start it in the morning. Say, Lord, I want to be more like you. I want to act like you. When they see me, let them see you. Not some religious weirdo thing. I want to be naturally super. We say supernatural and we like it, but we just be naturally super. You're natural. Don't be inhuman. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's learned activity. Some of that's of the devil. Because it's imitating. We're not into that. Look in the mirror tomorrow. Say, Lord, am I you? Go about your day, and then you get your new image. Go through your whole day. When you get back home at night, look back in the mirror and see if anything changed. Did your day crumble in on you and that image went away and you became more and more like your old self and not like Christ? Okay? Try that. Look in the mirror. Am I re-imaging Jesus? When they see me, do they see Jesus? When they hear me, do they hear Jesus? Let's stand. We're going to read something together. Are you ready to get re-imaged? Is it scary? Let's read Colossians 3 in the Amplified together. Are we there? Are we there? Let's read this together. You got to go. You got to be like my wife. Don't do what I say. Do what I mean. You might not know what I mean because that's going on in my head. Maybe you're here today and you never knew that you could be re-imaged or reborn. Maybe that's you. I don't know. Well, we're here to tell you you can and you can do it today. Maybe you're saved, born again, going to heaven, but you need to be re-imaged. You can also do that today. Pastor Shane was telling us about VBS and how many kids at VBS came to Christ. They were re-imaged at VBS. Wait, that's a little kid thing. Oh, yeah. God does not have a little child Holy Spirit that he gives to kids. They get the full manifest presence of the fullness of the Godhead that dwelt in Jesus in bodily form, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit imparted to them even as a child. And it changes them. You can have that too. Do you want him to re-image you? Give you new life? If you've never asked Christ to do that, I encourage you to do that today. If you've never asked him, it takes one sentence to get to know somebody. You have to start talking. You don't get to know someone by standing, looking at them, staring. You have to say something. Everybody say something. Let's say this together. I really mean it. I don't care if you're saved for 50 years. If you don't even understand Jesus, you don't know who he is. Say this with me. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I want you to be the master, the savior, of my life. Come into my life, Jesus. Change me forever. If you said that for the first time, you're on the road to being reimaged. If you said that 50 years ago and you just renewed that, you're on your way to getting reimaged. Everybody say reimage. If you're able, would you come down to this area right now, if you're able, to the altar? Beware, you may become altered when you come to the altar. I want you in your own way to just maybe right now in this moment say, Jesus, re-image me. I want to be more like you. I need to be. I've got to be. I don't have another option. Jesus, help me look like you, act like you, change me. Let it be my desire to do that. We say, this is my desire. Say, this is my desire. My heart.
Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
I have. Colossians 2, 9 through 15. Do we have it? Colossians 2, 9 through 15. In the Passion Translation. If this doesn't transform you and re-image you when we say this, I don't know what will. We'll wait until the message leaves so that we can read the whole scripture. Go, read. For he is the complete fullness of deity living in human form, and our own completeness is now found in him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every good, every kingdom and authority in the universe. Through our union with him, go back. We have experienced circumcision of the heart. Read, all of the guilt and power of sin has been what? Cut away and is now extinct because of what Christ, the Anointed One, has accomplished for us. For we have been buried with him into his death. Our baptism into death also means we're raised with him. When we believed in God's resurrection power, the power that raised him from death's realm. Read, this realm of death describes our what? Former state, that we were held in sin's grasp. But now, somebody say, but now. We have been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return, for we are forever alive and forgiven of all our sins. Read, He has canceled out every legal, violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He has erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Are you getting this, church? Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them what? Every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner. They. Wow. Woo. Oh, somebody give them a bigger shout like that's the truth. Oh, Jesus. Woo. Oh, transform us, Jesus. You did it. It's all about the cross. The cross started our transformation. You died for us. Transform us. Transform us. Transform us. Transform us. Even right now, Jesus, transform us. New faces, new faces, new faces, new minds, new minds. Oh, renew our minds, Lord. Renew our minds, Lord. We want to be like you. Our old man has been crucified, dead, gone. That means, you know, dead means you're not here anymore. You know, dead people don't have any say in it. I'm leaving here in a little bit, and I'm doing a funeral in Austintown right after this service, not long after this service. She's not there. She's dead. She's gone. That's dead. Everybody say dead. Look at somebody and say, I'm dead. Now, usually I would say that if I'm, you know, one time, I'm sorry, I have to hold my mic because my tape left. I want you to hear this. One time I was making cookies. I just bought Kat this mixer. Can you hear me? Can you turn me up so I don't have to do that? I bought her this, what's that white mixer thing called? The KitchenAid. I bought her this KitchenAid and she wasn't there. And I started making these, trying to make these cookies. And I didn't realize, honestly, I'm not joking. I didn't realize there was that plastic thing that you had to put on top of it once you hit the button. And it went, and it went. And I'm not kidding you. You know what I said? When I, nobody was in the house, just me. I said, I'm dead. I'm dead. I'm dead. There was flour in the crevices. I'm dead. Have you ever said that? Have you said that, Nick? Have you ever done anything at your house and, I'm dead. Oh, no. Oh, to be in the image of Nick, the man of perfection, sinless, blameless. No, I'm just kidding. I love him. I'm allowed to say that kind of stuff. I say, I'm dead. Now look at him and say, this is what the new me looks like. Say, ask him, say, do you recognize me? Do you recognize me? Let your prayer be, Lord, re-image me. Make me, conform me, Father, into the image of your Son, Jesus. Lord, I give, say, Lord, I give you my heart, give you my soul. Live for you. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. go. Bigger, say, Lord, I give, say,
Lord, I give you my heart.
This word in this scripture means more to me than it ever did after this message. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Can we give them a big shout this morning? God bless you. Have a good week. Amen. Hug about 25 people before you leave and tell them you're glad to see them. Thank you. God bless.